How's Nicole anyway?
I'm good.
Let's get off this COVID crap and let's actually talk about nice things.
Okay. So it's really nice to be in Colorado. I appreciate how people take precautions, but we're also able to do a lot of things outside, which is nice. Mm. And our gyms are open. And so I know I'm pretty lucky in that regard. Like I go to an ice climbing gym. I go to a regular rock climbing gym. I go to a lifting gym. Probably too many gyms. Might have been one reason I got COVID, but we won't, I don't know, speculate there.
Some of these gyms, do you have memberships to all these gyms, Nicole? Or do you just go in and go, do you know who I am? Thank you very much. I'm just going to be working out here.
Oh, no. See, in Boulder, no one cares who I am. I am just like one of like the masses of athletes.
Yeah.
I am not special in Boulder.
It is a mecca for athletes, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Boulder, Colorado.
But I like that. I like being surrounded by other people that are at like the same level or higher and, you know, being pushed. And anything I try to go do, like, I'm not going to be the best in. Like, I'm not the best runner here. I'm not the best rock climber here. you know, like skier, whatever.
But it's interesting because me and Luke have always said that, like, we got to a point, well, this sounds really big headed, but we got to a point a couple of years ago in Spartan where like Luke was doing really well. I was doing really well. There's a few of the guys that are doing really well. And we're like, right, we don't want anyone to come in the sport now. We like winning this. But then like, it's like, no, we need better athletes to come and races to make us better. And it is weird, like the last couple of years, like some of the athletes, younger athletes have got better, other athletes have come in, triathletes have come in, and you're right, it's weird all of a sudden like being pushed that little bit more. And I suppose that's the same thing in the gym as well, isn't it? Like you see someone in the gym like doing stuff that you could only dream of doing, it just makes you then go away and train harder and get better. And I suppose that's why athletes that are like brothers or they train together do really well, or sisters, you know, like you've got the Brownlees and people like that, and you got them in boxing, you've got all different sports, I suppose. But I suppose that's how that works, isn't it? You're always just pushing yourself to get better and improving.
I think it's comfortable to be a big fish in a small pond, but you're not going to reach your potential that way.
No. So,
yeah. It's nice to be in Boulder. It's nice to have women in particular to train with. I think it's especially inspiring to go into the rock climbing gym and just see all these women just like absolutely crushing.
There seems to be a lot of women in rock climbing.
Probably
I don't know it enough to say that the facts, there probably isn't, it's probably more men than like there is most sports, but there seems to be a lot more when I watch it on TV, especially higher level women, maybe because their frame and their body size and the body weight to weight ratio thing has a massive to do with that, I suppose, doesn't it? But there just seems to be a lot of women in it.
It's an interesting sport because I think like other sports, probably the women have been a little bit behind in terms of getting into the sport, but rock climbing is at a level now where there's a big female contingency, and when you look at the top of the sport, women are climbing pretty much just as hard as men, and it's something that it's really interesting to see, like go out to some random crag and go to a hard climb, and there'll be maybe like a guy that's 6 feet tall and, I don't know, like 180 pounds. And he'll be able to climb something. And then you have, someone like me that will come along and I'm like 5'3" and like 115. And I may be able to climb the same route, but likely in a very different way because of our weight difference, because of our height difference, potentially like different powers, like maybe my finger strength is better, but the guy might be more powerful or something. So it's really cool to see athletes essentially do the same thing, but in a nuanced way.
That's definitely something I was going to say, Nicole, about rock climbing in particular. When I've been to the bouldering gym near me, I've seen a lot of guys quite powerful, just like go straight up routes, but then when girls are coming to it, they're using their technique a lot more skillful in the way they're like mapping out the route, how they're going to attack it. Obviously in OCR that's very similar. You've got a lot of different obstacles, but OCR, apart from the weights of different stuff, you're still doing the same upper body obstacles as the guys. Do you see a lot of females using more technique base to get through those upper body obstacles compared to the men using a lot more strength?
That's interesting. Yeah. I guess when it comes to something like the harder rigs, you'll see someone like VJ be able to skip things. I think he famously did, what was it, beater in like two moves or something.
He's got a wingspan of Prince Nazim, isn't he? He's got like a 80-inch bloody wingspan that boy has.
Whereas like I might come through and use a little bit of like maybe like my momentum, and I have to kind of be a little bit more locked off in my arms in order to do it and to be able to like make those spans. So yeah, I think kind of the same things apply.
Also, Luke, you seem to forget that women have brains, more brains than men most of the time. So when they get to these sports, I think they use their heads. Like they don't like, I'm a great example. I will just go hell for leather at what my body wants to do. Whereas someone like Nicole's going to sit there and go, well, actually I'm better if I do that. And you know, like it's just life, isn't it? Guys just go in like all buns blazing. We don't think about things. Whereas I think girls tend to think about, and that relates in sport, I think. And rock climbing is a big example of that, or ice climbing, or even OCR. I think it's funny watching, I actually watched Nicole's, the dry climbing competition you were on YouTube. And it was really interesting to watch how the girls went about it over the guys. Like you said, the guys can do more, you know, vigorous movements,
skip moves
and reach. That's great. It's a bit like women watching women's football. It's exactly the same game, but it has to be played in a completely, soccer. It has to be played in a completely different way. Like they can't kick a ball, you know, all the distance that the guys can. So they have to go through three or four players to get the ball to the same place. But yeah, I've no idea where I was going with this, by the way. I've completely lost a train of thought. But it is interesting to watch the sport be done in a different way. And I'm finding that's happening in OCR now. Like you watch, I don't know, you can go back and watch Tahoe World Championships the last 3 or 4 years, you know. And it is funny how the girls, they don't seem to, I suppose they do seem to struggle on obstacles. It's funny because I always think like Nicole, now, especially now I know you a bit better, Nicole, it's like, why is Nicole struggling on that obstacle? Like I know she can do it. I've seen her in a climb, and you know, we see her on Instagram every day, you know. You can physically do it all day long in training in your gym with your mates, but why then put yourself in that situation at a world championship point on a rig that you could win and win the race? You know, why all of a sudden do you panic and go into this, oh my God, I can't do it, and start hanging on? I mean, there's a couple of famous videos, isn't there? I think it's
like Rose Wetzel
hanging on a rope like, oh no, I've lost grip.
I think it was when
COVID hit. Well, no, not you particularly. I'm just saying girls in general.
Oh,
right?
In general.
Yeah. Sorry, not you particularly. I'm just saying girls in general.
I was like, when was
your shit?
I would definitely agree with you that I do think there is maybe more like race day anxiety, the factor of that kind of gets into.
Confidence.
The women's side. And yeah, when it comes down to it, basically confidence. But yeah, I mean, I think that, I don't know. It's hard for me to speak to like generally speaking, women on obstacles, comparing them to like the men, the male proficiency. Cause I do think that there are a lot of us that are pretty efficient and strong on obstacles. I think it's just that there are just less women in the sport right now. And so you just see more, like you're just going to see more variability. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Let's take Spartan for an example, because we all race Spartan. We all know what Spartan is. So do you think Spartan help or don't help? Like we actually raised this question on the last podcast with Aaron, because he made it out. He said, well, let's not forget the girls do the same obstacles as the guys. Yes, yeah. The weights are slightly different, but when it comes to the rig setups, you don't have a girl side and a boy side other than the wall that has the ledge. that elites can't use anyway. Yeah, but from everything else, you know, it's the same. So do you think that's not a fault of Spartan and the races, but do you think that's a hindrance of to say, well, hold on, guys, you know, you're not actually helping the fact that there's a lot of girls out there that would feel, what's the word I'm looking for? Like, oh no, I can't do that. You know, without even trying.
Yeah.
Intimidated. That's a great word. Thank you.
I think it's a really hard conversation to have because me personally, when I think about the obstacles that Spartan has in particular compared to other obstacle races, I'm kind of in the boat of feeling like they could be harder.
Yeah.
At least like the rigs could be harder. Some of like the upper body kind of movements could be harder. But again, I'm coming into the sport as a rock climber and I know that that's not everyone's background. I also do agree that, you know, if you compare like me and Aaron or me and like Atkins, like one of the top male athletes, I have failed more obstacles. And I would say that it is because that of like when you take something like Spartan's monkey bar obstacle, typically a pretty easy obstacle for me, but they've done this recently where they spread out the monkey bars more. And then so if you have like a bigger reach and then you have something like cold conditions or wet conditions, then all of a sudden you have a situation in which like my wingspan is 5'6", I think. I have like a plus ape index. So mine's 5'6", and like an equivalent guy has like a 5'11" probably index. And when you have to
I love the fact that you know what your index is, by the way. I love the fact that you know it. You're such a freak.
My ape index.
I know what my ape index is. You know,
oh yeah, it's like a climbier thing to know what your wingspan is. Yeah,
I need to get mine.
But basically, so when things become slippery, then you do have to lock off a little bit more. You can't just like hang and you can't swing because if you swing more, then you're going to slip off. So you have to be more static in your approach to the monkey bars, So if you have a longer ape index, a lot longer wingspan, then you're going to be able to get through it a lot easier. If that makes sense. If I can't reach, then I can't be as controlled
physically.
No matter how strong I am.
Yeah, I think that takes us back to the technique thing as well that we were talking about just before. In certain situations, obviously, different obstacles require, say, females or people with a shorter reach band to have a solid technique that they can rely on, a better skill level than somebody with a bit more, say, strength or a physical advantage of, say, longer arms, that they could do that obstacle slightly differently. Because you've seen there's definitely tons of females, especially in Europe, that are amazing on the obstacles. Twisters, like, almost doesn't really slow people down anymore. The monkey bars are easily doable for a lot of the female field as well now. But then when you get to those like wet, muddy conditions, that's when you start seeing the changes, the differences. And then you see the ones that have got different techniques that they can use or a better second technique than their normal one. They're the ones that end up doing better at those races where it's a bit harder, a bit more difficult.
Yeah. I would say that that's very easy to see in a race like Jacksonville a couple of years ago, where we had some really fast, talented athletes in the women's field. Mm-hmm. And you can look back at races prior to that in which they didn't fail anything. Like Tia didn't fail anything. I think her first race, and Nell, I know, didn't fail anything because I raced with her, just like 1 month prior to Jacksonville. And so again, like she was able to do everything in dry conditions and then you got wet conditions and she didn't have the experience and she didn't have maybe like the reserve strength, if that makes sense. You know, she could at the time probably do like 5 pull-ups and she had enough grip strength that she could hold on to dry obstacles. But once they got wet, it was just an uncomfortable, like out of her element situation that she hadn't really even practiced before. So she ended up failing, I think, like three or four things. It was a hard day for her.
let's take that as an example then. Sorry, Luke. Let's take that as an example. Do you not think, I mean, putting my coach's brain on now, like head on, do you not think it was good for her to go into that situation just thinking, do you know what, if I come away with 500 burpees, it doesn't matter. That isn't the idea, or I'm not going to win, I'm not going to podium, I'm not going to try and beat Nicole. The idea of going into this race today is to fail, is to...
She didn't know.
No, well, I suppose she didn't know, but...
She didn't know that the wet conditions would affect her that much.
No, I get that. But if she'd gone into the race thinking, do you know what, whatever the outcome is, even if I win, I didn't go to do, but if I lost and came dead last, it doesn't matter. The idea is I'm going to learn about myself and what I can do and can't do. And I think it's sometimes better to come away from a race rather than having a perfect race, having a shit race, because you go, actually, I need to work on that. Like I was saying about 3 years ago, you can get complacent. You know, you start winning races or doing top three every race time you race, you just go, oh, you know, I'll just train a little bit more and this. And, you know, you get beat, come 10th when you're used to coming first. Hold on, that's a bit of a kick up the ass, you know.
That's when competitiveness probably comes in, though, and ego. Yeah. I don't know now, but I'm sure she's a very competitive person. I'm sure whenever she enters a race, she wants to do the best she can do. Hard to switch that off and say, like, oh, today I don't really want to do that good. I just want to learn. It's quite hard for a competitive person. And
I think so for Nell in particular, I think it's super easy to compare my start in OCR with her like short-lived experience. because she had something else to fall back on, essentially. Like she was also still very focused on her road running, ambitions and specifically trying to make the Olympics and the marathon, and having a good shot at that. Whereas like when I came into the sport, I also had like a super up and down experience at the beginning. I did super well. And then I got like completely destroyed by like Palmerton and Asheville races, which had these huge double carries in them. And I think if I had still been racing on the track and on the roads and still had that passion and had that opportunity, I probably would have been like Anel or Atia and been like, you know what? I might still focus on this a little bit more. But because of just my injury situation at the time, that just like wasn't really in the cards. And so I think that actually kind of forced me to instead like really focus on those things that were challenging for me. And I even thought like, oh, maybe I'll just do races like OCRWC and Savage races that don't have the heavy carries and they have more of the things that I'm good at and that are fun to me. but just because of how the major competition is in Spartan, basically, I kind of got like encouraged to go into the Spartan world as well.
But, and roll ahead, like what, 6 years later and she's world champion.
Yeah. But it took me a while to really, to really grasp like how to train for Spartan races in particular, how to get over mental blocks with the spear, how to get more competent at that obstacle, and then how to develop the strength for heavy carries.
Do you not find that fun though? Has that not been the best? I mean, like I've done many sports, like literally every sport you can think of, I've either done it, tried it, sucked at it, been quite good at it, and I still find that OCR is the most fun to train for because there is no right or wrong. This is what's, I mean, there obviously is, but there's not, because every time you think you get it right, you know, the races, the race directors, they go and change the goalposts every time. you know, and then even think when you think you've got it right, you get injured, or you think you've got it right and a shitload of snow falls in Tahoe and all of a sudden you're racing in, you know, minus temperatures, you know, and oh my God, now
so many different variables. Yeah, totally.
100%. And that's what makes it very hard to train for, which also makes it fun. Here's a question to you then. Do you think with you saying about Nell and had something else to fall back on and other people, there must be so many people out there that not even at the pro level, I'm just talking like literally age group competitors, just normal people going on a Sunday to try the sprint. There must be so many people out there that go, oh, I sucked at that. I'm going to go back to doing what I know best. And that's 10 lengths in the swimming pool on a Sunday. You know, like that didn't interest me because they didn't do very well. Whereas if it just, like you said, gone away, learnt from their mistakes, tried hard, maybe got a decent coach, got themselves. I mean, there's not enough clubs. I mean, I don't know about America, but in the UK, we had this whole thing with lots of teams, and then those teams break down because there's no support there. There's lots of clubs. There's a few good junior ones in England now, but they're, I mean, COVID does not help, don't get me wrong, but in general, that like, unlike, and when before we have everyone in the OCR community going, there's loads of clubs, there's loads of fantastic places, there is, but
not right now.
Listen, I grew up competitive swimming. You couldn't go 2 minutes down the road without bumping into another swimming pool or another competitive swimming club. Same for running. You can't go everyone's a runner now, you know. There's this Kesgrave, Cruvers, this, that, you know.
Yeah.
Whereas OCR, you have to travel miles and miles and miles before you
get to somewhere like Field Fit.
100%. But do you know what I mean? Like, and that's what I mean. Like,
world class obstacle gym.
World class obstacle gyms.
What do you call it?
Exactly. Obstacle field. Thanks, guys. Yeah. But do you know what I'm getting at? Like, there isn't enough.
Yeah. Well,
structure. And I suppose my question is,
it makes it hard. Yeah. The structure, the lack of structure makes it hard as a newcomer to know how to train.
Yeah.
For one.
And is the sport big enough?
What's that?
Is the sport big enough? Is it big enough to have all these good athletes?
These are too many questions. Let me go back.
Jack comes in with like 20 questions and then no answers.
Okay. So first of all, you touched on, so when somebody does something and they're not good at it. So one, it's not fun to be bad at something, typically. I mean, I think I've learned how to.
Luke's good at it.
I've especially as a competitive person, right? I think especially recently trying a lot of new things and just inherently being bad at them because they're new has helped me with that. But as a competitive person, it's hard to do something and be really bad at it. And when I got into Spartan racing, I was really, really good at some things. And I was really, really bad at other things. Like I got passed by the entire women's field in the double carry when I went into it. Like me and Lindsay got there in first, like together. And then I got passed by the entire women's field. And because I was so bad at carrying two heavy sandbags. So I understand, like it's not fun sometimes to really suck at something. And the other thing is that it's not always fun to work on those weaknesses. But I think if you can get past that first like bit of like discomfort and being like feeling awkward and feeling bad at something, then you reap the rewards of improving, and then it's fun and it's fun to see progress. But it's like how do you get people to commit to that process and to like push through it? That's kind of like one of the big things, I think.
Do you find OCR and climb, I suppose, do you find that's a slow process? Like unlike some sports where you can train and you feel automatically like you're improving. Let's take ice skating, for example, right? You take a non-ice skater and put them on the ice. They're going to be like Bambi, you know, but within half hour, you're going to give them some real sort of encouragement. They're going to improve. By the end of the half hour or the hour, they're going to be going around the rink backwards within reason. Whereas it takes a lot longer, doesn't it? You could be
well,
6 years
before things.
You get some 100%, 100%.
And
do you think that's the big factor?
Yeah, which that's why I think it's a great sport. That's why I love it, because it has elements of aerobic fitness, and then it has strength, and I think it promotes like a healthier form of fitness. And I also think if this is a whole nother discussion, but but I also think it promotes like a healthier
healthier lifestyle,
and it's easier to I think have like a healthier like body image of yourself too. It's not
provides like a nice balance of fitness, because you've got a lot of cardio, but you've also got quite a lot of strength, and you're doing a lot of different stuff that will keep you strong. I build like a very strong base within OCR. Mm-hmm. So you will do a lot of running, but you will also lift some stuff. So it's not just skewed a lot one way or skewed the other way. It's quite a balanced sport, whereas a lot of other sports are very much specific. If you're going to be a runner, you're going to do quite a lot of running, maybe a small amount of strength and conditioning, whereas OCR, you probably need to do a little bit more and a little bit more. But Nicole, this kind of brings us around to the post that you've put on Instagram about like the gender gap in OCR and what you're going to do to kind of enhance that and try and make that a little bit more prevalent and a bit more equal as well. So do you just want to break that down for us, just kind of give the listeners a bit of a preview of what you posted, because it was a fairly long post. I don't want to do it injustice by reading it wrong. So if you just want to break it down for us, let them know what you're trying to do.
Yeah, sure. So you can look at data from general races and then also specifically elite races, and you'll see there's a discrepancy between the number of male competitors and the number of female competitors. The numbers, Jack Bauer did some number crunching for me. Our stat man. And basically it turns out to be, it's about 70-30 split percentage wise. And it sometimes gets worse as you go up in division. So age group, elite, then you'll see even like that percentage has shifted even more towards the male side. Which is something that, you know, I didn't really need to see that data to know that. You show up to races and
see
like a packed men's elite field, and then you see the women's field is smaller. Yeah. We also know that the spread from like first to 10th in any competitive race on the male side is much more compact, and the women are pretty spread out. Almost to a point that, you know, people have joked like, oh, it's like Lindsay and Nicole, and then like, oh, maybe Becca's there too, and then there's like a gap, or like, oh, there's like, you know, like the Fab Five, when it was like me, Lindsay, Faye, Alyssa, Rhea, is that five of us? Yeah. So it was like the Fab Five. and then it was just like, we're always going to be in the top five. And like that, like maybe our placements changed within that. But then like, there was no one else there. It was like a pretty big gap until sixth place or something. So recognizing that, I've felt like more women belong in the sport and would do well in the sport for a while. And I've, tried to get my best friend in there. and she did really well. but then she had to go run the marathon again. And it's exciting when like someone knew like Becca, when she came in, and she was able to just like make an immediate impact and, you know, like first year racing places second at the World Championships. And so you see things like that happen. More so it's possible on the women's side, again, because I just don't think the field is as deep. And then the other thing that happened that really like pushed me to wanting to start this program was recognizing that because you have this like clear top five on the women's side, and then the men's side, it's like 10 or 15 guys that actually have a legitimate shot of making the top five or the top three. You see more sponsors going towards the male athletes. And again, I don't think that's like necessarily a fault of like companies or brands or races. It's just a product of the men's side being more competitive. It's a tighter field. There's more people that have a legitimate shot at a podium. But that also was leaving the women's side without any any like encouragement or any support lower down in the rankings. And so basically I was seeing this like pattern of like, we're not going to have, we're going to continue to have like a less deep women's field if we're not supporting those other racers and encouraging them. Mm-hmm. And like, I know 2020 didn't happen, but just because of how the support was going towards men and women, a lot of my like female competitors, I talked to them and like a lot of them had decided that they weren't going to do the US National Series, or that they're going to go back to trail racing, or maybe, you know, they would focus on something else. So it was disheartening to see that because there's a lack of support on the women's side, the women were then less committed to being in the most competitive races. And so I think if 2020 had happened, we would have actually seen a weaker women's field. Mm. So I saw that happening and I was like, well, you know what? if no one else is going to support this like second tier of women, then maybe I could do something. At least like, I know I don't have like a ton of resources, but I know what it was like to get into the sport and not know how to train. Yeah. I know what it was like to just not even know how to navigate what races to go to or like who to reach out to. So basically I'm trying to put together an elite team of women that's mm-hmm. essentially like a women's development team. Nice. And I will be available as a mentor. I will have coaches available. So if they need coaching, if they already have coaches, that's fine. But I will have OCR running and lifting coaches. I have nutritionists lined up to work with them. I'm looking for sports psychologists as well, because I think that's a very important component. Mm-hmm. And then Inside Tracker has said they are going to give all of the athletes blood tests, which is super important. Again, female athletes in particular tend to be anemic more often. And that's just a complete game changer if you don't have those like blood levels in line. So, and then I have a lot of support from VJ and from Alt Red and from Darn Tough and Honey Stinger. They've guaranteed product for everybody. I also expect to have more sponsors involved too. So basically the idea is trying to support a team of women in all aspects that athletes need to be supported in.
Nice. So it's an amazing project and it sounds like it's really coming together. Do you have an idea of how many people are going to be in the team?
I think so. So just because of maybe like my time and financial constraints, I want to have a group of about five. That's mm-hmm. what I'm looking for. So five athletes who I'm hoping are wanting to compete at the elite level. You know, their goals are to win world championships, to beat me. You know, like they are, I'm easy. Looking for top athletes, or people that want to get there.
Is that US based only?
Yes, it's going, this program in particular is going to be US based only, nice. But I'm going to also have a larger group because I'd also recognize that there's big potential to help a lot more women and to get a lot more women into the sport too.
But this is the sort of thing, I mean, this is great work, by the way. This is the sort of thing that you take now. And trust me, like I started out Feel Fit and I never expected it to be where it is now. It's the sort of thing where you start with a little idea. You go, can we really make it work? Is it going to work? Are people going to want to come? Next thing you know, you're like, oh, shit, I'm really invested now. And mm-hmm. I'm putting all this time and money and effort in. I feel that's the sort of thing that Nicole in 10 years time, we could have mini Nicoles running around doing what you're doing all over the world. I think that's the sort of thing that would work if it was well managed, and I don't mm-hmm. see why it wouldn't. So, what's, you know, you say only US now, but
what's the name of the team?
Yeah, and I'm
Nicole?
Hoping that
that's mentioned me. What the
name of the team?
Yeah, she hasn't got it yet. She hasn't got it yet.
I'm so bad at naming things, guys. I'm the worst. So you realize, like, when I had stuffed animals when I was little. Like my bear was just called Bear. And like Benji came as Benji. Like I had every intention of renaming him. It wasn't exactly like tied to the
for the listeners. For the listeners, Nicole texted me. She was like, "Jack, I need some help." And I sat there and I was like, "This is really difficult trying to name someone else's team." Like I had ideas, but I thought that's not appropriate. But like it is difficult. And I assume you still haven't come up with a name.
No.
Right. Okay, guys. So we're
going to somebody
put else
is going to have to come up with. For now, it's just called the Women's Development Team.
Nicole's team. I thought you generally called it that. But let's put it out there. If anybody's got any great names, there must be some really clever play on names.
After the episode airs, we'll put it out on our Instagram and we'll take some recommendations and we'll pass them to Nicole. We'll see if any of them take hold. You never know. We could name the team.
Yeah.
Multiple media girls team.
Yep.
This is a great project, Nicole, and there obviously is a gap within a little bit of support which you've seen for the females field. Obviously, like, we're going to point out that all of us are on the Spartan Pro team. Spartan have done a huge bit as well to have a lot of pro athletes. I don't know what the split is like in America. Is there a lot of females on the pro team and males, or is it a bit more men? In the UK, we've got 4 and 4.
I don't know. In terms of like the larger pro team,
definitely like 10 to 15 gals. Normally, quite a lot of the females are on the pro team in the top 10. Within the US series races, normally they're quite within the pro team.
Yes. I would say last year there was more men selected to be, yeah. I hesitate to say this because Spartan has done a lot. And I get that there's 10 guys that like all could win a race at any point. Whereas like on the women's side, in 2019, I mean, at the major races, it was like me, Lindsay, Rhea, who won any of those races. Is that right?
It was like
3 of us who all won the major races. Whereas like on the men's side, Atkins, Kempson, Johnny, VJ, and then Killian, you know, they were all
Woods won you a US
series. Yep, so that's 6. Yeah.
But this is the problem when you're working with brands and companies. It all comes to the end of the day, and this is a sad world, but it all comes down to money, doesn't it? If the financial backing and money of sponsorships and what sells, basically. And like you say, unfortunately, you know, 10 guys going head to head is gonna sell more than
it's more exciting. Like there's no way around it. Like watching the guys race when they are tighter, more tightly packed, it's a more exciting race. The most exciting races in women's OCR were West Virginia in 2018, 2019, whenever that was, where there was 6 of us together for most of the race. And that was like, it was aired on ESPN. It was like, and that was like kind of a unique race and that we were all stayed together for so long. And then also, I think OCRWC 3K, it's like, it's always one of the most exciting races to watch because everyone is so close for much longer.
Yeah, I think when you girls come to Europe, there's obviously you've got Ida and Karen and people like that obviously blend in with you guys that make it a lot more exciting.
Totally.
So what needs to happen is they just need to go to US or you need to come to Europe a bit more and sort it. We're all good. Do you think an issue, we asked this question, especially with like Natasha and Andrea quite a few times when they've been on the podcast, about when Spartan made the wave separate. So before we used to race as one group, so the guys used to go with the girls. Do you think that would help?
You mean the genders were together?
Mixed, yeah.
Do you think that would help? I've never raced Spartans like that before.
Really?
Nope. I started in 2016.
They were split up.
They split them up. So would you think that would be worth doing? Would you go in the boys'
race? I would be so stoked to see that. But I also find it really exciting when there's a female that like places in the top 10 of the men. Mm. And I think that, I mean, I think it would be a little more congested. Like it would be a different race for the top women compared to the top men, you know, cause like, so like if we went with the men, we would be around all of these guys, like fighting for like lanes and stuff too, that we're not used to doing. But I think it would be, pretty exciting too, just because, it's just more fun when you have people around you and like, it's, and you're pushed more.
Well, that brings us right back to where we started, wasn't it? Like at the end of the day, if you're around better people than you, you are going to improve, and that's the main thing. So where are you going to start with this?
When's it going to start? When's the program?
So, I'm going to be my application will go live tonight. It should. Did you go live tonight?
It's live now. Live on Multisport Media. We've gone live.
Yeah, it's really exciting that I've just been talking to a lot of different people about this, because after I made that post, so many people all different types of levels are really excited about this initiative and want to help out and want to be a part of it, which is great. But I'm also just like, I'm like a little bit more bombarded with stuff than I thought I would be. and again, like I really want to make a larger program which will help more women, and it'll just be something that, sorry, Faye's calling me right now.
Get her online, get her on as well.
Yeah, she should come on too. So I kind of like, the larger objectives are, one, getting just more women into the sport of OCR in general, and using this organization as a way to promote other female businesses. And so you'll see this week, I'll announce a lot of the different partners that I'm working with. And it's all just, it's like female nutritionists, female coaches, just trying to get more females involved at all levels. Because I think
even like the coaching and the nutritional, is that's all female as well?
It's all going to be, all females. Yeah.
Okay, that's interesting. Mm-hmm. Well, I was going to say that. Has Lindsay applied yet?
Has Lindsay applied?
Yeah.
she was really sweet. She reposted my story and kind of like helped out with the announcement. And that's kind of, and my goal is really to have more women on the elite side get involved too. I think this is like first and foremost a way to just help the whole women's OCR
the field of the sport.
So I'm not, it's all about like inclusion and and like women supporting women. And so anyone like Lindsay, Faye, whoever wants to be involved with it, I'm super excited to have their help.
With the idea behind it to be to encourage a few more women to come into the elite field, are the places going to be for people who are not currently in the elite field, or are you going to take some elite athletes currently in the elite Spartan field and have some that are not, or is it, how's it going to be placed?
I'm open to either. So I'm open to athletes that have never done an obstacle course race. Obviously I recognize that's both myself and Becca were able to come in and just based on our like athletic backgrounds, we're able to come in and be really competitive from the start. And I know there's other women out there in the same boat. So if someone has never done an obstacle horse race before, that doesn't mean that they shouldn't apply. They should absolutely apply. And then I'm also, happy to have people apply that have been in the obstacle racing world for a while. And maybe they're an age group and they just haven't moved up to elite, or maybe they, whatever it is, maybe they don't like all. So, so one of the questions on my application is like, what kind of support is most helpful for you? And, and I know maybe someone hasn't had coaching. It hasn't had, nutrition counseling or all of these things that really make a big difference,
especially at that top level.
Massively
at that top level, so that's great stuff. That's awesome, Nicole. So let's bring it back to you personally for a little bit. So 2021 starts in what, 3 weeks for you, is it?
Yeah, it's 3 weeks.
Three weeks. And are you ready?
Yeah, how's the prep going, Jacksonville?
The prep is going well. I So I had this hamstring issue in the fall last year. And that is something that I've been focusing a lot on getting that completely healthy. And so my hamstring's feeling good. My hand, which I fell walking down to compete at the climbing competition, and I hurt my, my joint and my thumb. And so that was really dumb. And, it's just kind of ironic. Like, I do all these kind of more extreme things, but I hurt myself walking. So that was kind of a bit of a scare for a while. I was worried that maybe I had torn like some ligaments or something, but it seems to be progressing pretty well. And, I think if I had to race tomorrow, it would be more or less ready. So I'm feeling healthy. What have I been doing? I mean, most of my training has been, up until like 2 weeks ago, it was really focused on mixed climbing. So ice climbing, dry tooling. I actually had that as my focus, cause I knew it would prepare me upper body wise for obstacles. and I really wanted to go and compete well in Uray, and I had less than 2 months to prepare for it. So I backed off my running a bit. I left long runs out of my training, cause I had these like really long days of climbing where like I'd leave my house at like 4 a.m. and like drive to Vail and climb all day and then like get back like 10 at night. So it was just like running, like it would have just been insane to try to like run like 12 miles that day too. So
an injury as well, to be fair.
Yeah. Yeah. And luckily like my coach is, so my coach is a running coach specifically, but he really understands my love of climbing and how that also benefits my obstacle racing. And so he's very helpful in being able to like work around things like that when I want to do them. But now I'm back on the running focus, and I'm still dry tooling a little bit, and I'm climbing, I'm rock climbing in the gym as well for training, but running's like my focus right now, because that to me, that's the most important thing in preparation for Jacksonville.
And when was the last time you touched an obstacle?
So I've gone to, Cerus, is a gym in Colorado, and I've been there a bit in December, but that was probably the last time besides the Spartan Games. Okay. So I think actually, Becca Hammond is living here right now. And I think we're probably going to go to, VJ's, property has like, he's like, New has ocean. This like 400 meter track and, like a dirt loop essentially. And then he has some of the obstacles, that he constructed there. So I think it'll be a perfect place to do kind of like a simulation workout, which is something Becca and I were kind of joking about this yesterday. So I've only done like a race specific workout once ever. Normally my running and my like kind of like obstacle work is like totally separate, which I'm not saying is like the recommended thing to do. It's just that's growing up as a runner and like wanting to have a run specific coach. That's just how it works for me. But I recognize that especially since I haven't been racing, in the last like 12 months, essentially, it's like even more important to do something that's a little bit more specific.
Jacksonville is going to be so fun. You lot are just going to be falling off everything. You're going to be like, what's this twister?
Oh my gosh. I don't know. But that's why I want to go to VJ's, and probably I'll go back to Cirrus as well and do like an obstacle specific thing there too. Yeah.
And just, before we let you go, just talk about Hawaii, because I watched Instagram just in complete awe of all of your videos. And then like my mum actually rang me. She's like, is Nicole okay? She got lost in Hawaii. I was like, yeah. She's like, she started crying on Instagram. I'm like, I know.
It was honestly, I was very scared.
Yeah. I think I would have been.
Yeah. So since having some time away from that FKT, I've like since said that I would do it again. But at the time I was like, and I've also said I will do it again with other people. So huge caveat there. I don't think I would do it again alone. Although I guess if I did that thing specifically, I would know like to bring more water and to start earlier and, I would still be afraid of the boards, but yeah. But it was just like, I got lost. I realized while I was running that there were like boars there that are like pretty aggressive animals, apparently.
You're just running through their home like, hi.
Yeah. I came across, the weird thing was like, I came across all these cows that would not move out of the way. And cows actually can be aggressive as well. They can be aggressive. Like I actually have a friend. I have a friend in Boulder, a friend of a friend in Boulder who got charged by a cow and and broke her arm.
Yeah.
So I had that in my mind. So there's just all these things going on. I was like, I didn't bring enough water by like, oh my gosh, like I probably brought a third of the water that I needed. And so partly through running, I very quickly like switched over to like trying to run fast to what do I need to do to make it to the top alive? Like that was literally, I could have very easily gotten like severe dehydration. And Andy, who was running up ahead of me, actually, he got to the top and he was basically in tears and had lied, like he'd had to lie down on the trail like multiple times because he was so dehydrated. And when he got to the top, the first thing he said to Carly, who was picking us up there, was like, I think I need to go to the hospital. And so they were like, oh no, like, do we take Andy to the hospital now and like leave Nicole here? Like just leave water at the top for her or something? Or like, but then they were worried that maybe I was in worse shape. And so it was honestly, it was frightening for me and it was frightening for Andy at times. And he ended up not having to go to the hospital, but then like once I got into the car after finishing for like 2 hours afterwards, I was like on the verge of throwing up. Cause again, like I was so dehydrated. It was definitely an adventure.
But probably one of the best places you've ever been at the same time. Yeah.
Yeah. It was super fun. The terrain was so variable because you go from the ocean up to the top of this volcano. And I probably would have taken more videos, but I was legitimately scared for some of it.
Didn't want to cry live.
Yeah.
But that's interesting, is it? Because like you say, you mentioned FKTs, which is what you were trying, wasn't it? Like how much has that sport grown in the last, I know it's a sport of running, how much have FKTs grown, you know? So
it's become huge. And it's like a new focus, basically, which is great. Mm.
Something and to I, do, I do with races.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, definitely. And coming back to what you're trying to achieve with your girl group, I'm kind of hoping you do find someone not in OCR now. Mm-hmm. There has to be some women out there that are on top of their game at FKTs and running. Mm-hmm. I mean, to be fair, you would probably know about them. I don't know. We probably
wouldn't. Oh, yeah. And I know a lot of females who like a lot of trail runners have already reached out to me. There's certain trail runners in particular that I'm like, I know they're good on trail and off trail. And, you know, I know they have like a bit of strength, or like, I know they have like the potential to like get a bit stronger and do the obstacles, do the heavy carries.
We have the same thing when me and Luke interview people. They, if they're not an OCR athlete, I mean, like Tom Evans, I know it's a guy, but he's a great example. You know, he finished the call by saying, I'm going to come try another Spartan. And you think, shit, if someone like Tom Evans, who's like an amazing runner, gets into Spartan, we're all in trouble. You know, even Albin's in trouble, you know.
I think that's exciting because at least like I know when I got into the sport, I at first I was like almost cocky. I was like, I'm going to come in. And I'm just gonna like do really well. And then I just got like very humbled. And it took me like all season the first time to even like place like remotely where I thought like my potential was. And then even then, like it took me another like 3 years to like win the world championship and to really like start racing consistently was the major thing, because I had these like these good races, but then I would just have races that I fell apart because I didn't have all of like the six variables that you have in OCR figured out.
Yeah, no, for sure. So coming back to this year again, then, just to throw things completely, how do you see your chances in Jacksonville, and how do you see the season going this year for the girls?
So I'm super excited about Jacksonville. I already know of two newcomers on the women's side that will be there.
Okay.
So I think that will potentially shake things up a bit. I know that not everyone is going to be there from I don't think Faye is going. I don't think, who else? I don't know. I think, some of the traditional racers, I don't think are going to be there, but I think it'll be like a nice mix of former and new racers. I think I have I think my chances are good. I feel like I've made a lot of improvements in my running mechanics, actually. and I feel really strong in my upper body from like dry tooling and ice climbing. One of my side goals for the year is to like maybe get a one arm pull up. I think that would be really cool. I have a bit to go for that, but that's kind of like, I don't know, it'd be a fun party trick.
Nice. Do you feel pressure, Nicole? Like after last year, I write last year off. Mm-hmm. After 2 years ago, when you became world champion, and obviously we're going into this now and you're trying to build this team. Do you feel pressure as an athlete to go and absolutely make claim to being the top girl out there? Or do you think Lindsay, I mean, obviously you have to respect Lindsay because she's a freaking good athlete, but do you feel like, you know, this year I can actually prove that I am the one to beat and not her? You know, it's difficult because you're great friends as well, so you can't have a complete rivalry. It's difficult, isn't it? But
yeah,
surely there's a little bit of that there.
Yeah, I mean, Lindsay and I still have a rivalry. I mean, we're both like, we hang out, and I like especially had a lot of like good times with her this fall, like in preparing for the Spartan Games, not the Spartan Games, just got to hang out with her a bit more. And we get along great, and we really like to like hang out and train together. But I mean, when it's like race time, like Lindsay is a competitor, and I think people forget that because she is so nice and she looks so nice, but like when she's racing, but when she's racing, like it's on, you know, like,
you're there to win.
Yeah. And which is what you want. I live with Becca part of the time, and we're great friends and we have a ton of fun together. But you know, when it's time to race, like we're also gonna like go at each other. And I think that's like,
so is 2021 your year then, Nicole? Yeah.
It's so, honestly, it's so hard to even like kind of think of what my focus is because so many things are up in the air. And I am excited about doing like some trail races and doing more dry tooling competitions. And so I think I'm just like so excited to get back out there and compete that I guess I don't really have any expectations exactly.
Which is probably a good thing to have. And do you feel like 2020 you're a better athlete after 2020? Or do you think you've taken a step back? Do you think you're going to be a better athlete going forward because of this whole COVID thing and you've had time to look back?
So full disclosure, I am still having some breathing problems from COVID. But it's really just in the cold. So basically it just like aggravated my asthma. Cause when I was in Hawaii, I had no problems, which is another reason I'm really excited to go to Jacksonville. And it's not super unusual for me. I've had asthma my whole life, and I used to have a lot more problems when I lived in Texas with the humidity and like the different allergens there. And once I moved to Colorado, I've had a lot less problems, but pretty much every year anyways, the cold does still affect me sometimes. It's just been a little bit more aggravated because of, I think, having COVID in the fall. So I think there's a little bit of an element of that I'll have to, you know, still keep dealing with. But beyond that, I was able to do a lot longer training last year. So I've become more comfortable at racing longer distances. I've like kind of been open up to maybe racing some ultras in the future as well, some more ultras. And so I think it's made me a more well-rounded athlete in that regard. Nice. And yeah, I mean, because of my hamstring injury last fall, I had to like really refocus on physical therapy and working on my mechanics in strength training and in running. And that's actually, it's made me, it's like kind of changed my running. Like I feel like I'm so much more powerful in my stride. I'm not super shuffly as much. I don't know if, yeah, you guys recall my running form, but people in college called me skater because it looked like I was like skating along.
You do have a shuffle stride. Yeah.
Yeah. I have a little shuffly stride. So
how can you moan about it when you were doing so well with that stride? It's like, you know, you could go to anyone and look at Toby, you know, and you could change his stride for a little bit. It doesn't necessarily mean he's going to make him any better. Do you know what I mean? Like you've obviously got it nailed down to a T, haven't you?
Yeah. I mean, I'm not like complaining exactly, but more so just like recognizing that my mechanics have improved in the last month and my hip feels a lot better. It's something that like keeps me from running on roads and keeps me from doing flatter speed work. I typically stick to hills like exclusively. And I've actually found that that I'm just moving a lot better and I'm able to run faster and flatter, which is good. So
awesome. There you go. Well, good luck going into Jacksonville. And before we let you go, Nicole, where can people find this sign up sheet that you're going to be putting out for the women's team then? Is it going to be on a website, your Instagram?
Yeah, it's going to be a Google form. It's all ready to go. I just need to post it. It'll be posted to my Instagram. I'll have like a swipe up of my Instagram. And then,
Feeling your next few hours are going to be sieving through lots of applications.
Yeah, it'll be open. It's going to be open for a while. It'll be open for at least 2 weeks. Mm-hmm.
And then once you've chosen your... Sorry, Luke. Once you've chosen your six, will you tell people who they are, or is it quite a close, quiet group? Or what's
no, the plan? Yeah. So the idea is for this to help other women just from like watching their progress as well, and other people in general. Anyone can hopefully benefit from it.
Yeah, that's what I was getting.
Yeah. So I'll announce the team, and it'll be something where I'll be talking about the team and the progress throughout the year. So we'll share different things. And my other partners, the coaches, the nutritionists, will also share different tips and insights as well.
Well, we'll do our bit on Instagram by trying to find you a better team name, albeit, you know, we'll try. And then you try and find five awesome athletes for us to watch. And I'm excited. It's going to be fun.
It's going to be great.
Good fun. And good luck yourself, Nicole.
Thank you.
Yeah, good luck. Thanks for your time today.
Sounds good to me.